The Zombie Green University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Jason Roach.
It is a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And I understand that you do a very, very good vocal impression of the Verizon Collect Call Lady.
That's just the generic telephone voice. Operator voice.
You know,
the automated voice.
I thought it was automated too, but then, you know, Siri is actually a person. So I'm kind of freaked out.
For real?
Yeah. Siri is an actual voice that they recorded of a human being, and she revealed who she is a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
Wow. It's kind of freaky.
There's also the male version too, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In other countries, Siri is not female.
What's his name? I have no idea.
You're not allowed to inquire? Professor Dan Maggio?
I haven't been introduced yet.
Oh.
Well, now you have.
What's going on, Dan? Thanks for bringing in the
Not much. Mm-hmm. Enjoying this weather, getting ready for Christmas. I have all my decorations up.
Nice.
Ooh, like,
place has been
impressive.
I'm guessing your little bake-a-thon is coming up here.
Yes, I'll be baking cookies.
Yes. That's a lot of fun.
I'll bring them in, too. I don't know if I'll have enough ready for next week, but I'll save some.
We'll see.
We'll talk
about it.
You know what, Dan? Speaking of bacon cookies, my brother actually makes bacon and chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, really?
Delicious.
Bacon
and chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate's good with
them. Have you had them?
I have.
Are they good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet they are. I bet they're wonderful. Chocolate and bacon go well. Sweet and savory.
Yes.
Professor Jim Tubbs of Religious Studies, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Oh, gosh. It's Toll House cookies.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend that used to always make me a batch of Toll House cookies every year.
Yeah.
Because her mother used to make them and we would eat them all. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's Toll House. That's good.
Nothing like that coming out of the oven, that's for sure.
Of course, my grandmother used to make all kinds of wonderful, the butter cookies that she would put the sprinkles and the little silver things on top.
I haven't had lunch.
She'd pull taffy and make mints and...
Unbelievable.
All kinds of stuff.
Professor Dave Chow is here looking very purple and festive.
And looking
hungry too. You're looking very Advent-like today.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just worried that James is going to connect me some wine that he had over the last week or something like that. That's awesome.
Oh, my.
What?
You know, what? What?
No. You know, what, no, like I don't Merlot? Drink
no,
wine that color.
Uh-uh.
That is not a wine color. That is fluorescent grape juice.
That's Ripple. It's Ripple. Mad Dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Non-alcoholic.
Okay.
Thunderbird.
Non-alcoholic.
Yeah, more like Blunderbird.
So, Professor Diane Manica, you've never drank purple wine before. Now we know.
Not that color purple.
Never, ever, ever. However, it's wonderful to be here. And as I told you beforehand, you're in the wrong color hoodie.
I know, I'm
wrong
sorry.
Season. It's a bright orange.
Yeah, well. They just announced Tiger Fest, and I got a little excited, it's time
okay.
to start thinking
And,
about
hey,
it.
We got
forgiven.
A new closer.
Yeah, we do. We do.
We
definitely do.
A new second baseman, too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's right.
A bunch of new faces, a bunch of old faces are leaving. We'll see what happens, folks. We'll see what happens. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. It is our Christmas show, or one of our Christmas shows for this year. But when last we left our heroes, we had some questions from Amy Dixon we hadn't finished. It only seems right to rattle off a few more responses and then get to our Christmas questions for 2013. Amy had left us four more questions to answer all over the map. Where is the world's last remaining Hudson Motor Car dealership located?
In my dad's garage. Oh, no?
I'm guessing, hilariously, that you're probably not that far off.
Oh.
That's a hint.
In Michigan?
It is in Michigan, but where?
In Hudson.
That is a great guess. It is not. It is not.
I was just going to say that.
It's close by to where we're sitting right now, though.
Dearborn?
Hamtramck.
A funny little city where Eastern Michigan University
is. Ypsilanti. Oh, that's right. And there's still a Hudson dealership there.
Well, listen to this. This is fantastic. Miller Motors in Ypsilanti still retains official dealer status as long as it buys or sells one Hudson automobile a year. And since they mainly do restoration work on Hudsons exclusively, they are still a registered dealer.
We actually had a Hudson Hornet.
A Hudson Hornet for our family car.
I'm not responding to the year.
I almost bought a 53.
Beautiful.
That was sneaky.
Beautiful.
Two Hudson Hornets, right?
I know this is really dumb, but I appreciated the Pixar movie Cars for having one of the main characters as a Hornet. It made people, like, under the age of five understand that that car existed at some
Hudson
point.
Hudson Hornet was a pretty big car.
That was gigantic.
It was our family car.
You got in the front, and if you went to the back and got out, you were like a block over. It was beautiful.
And little windows that pushed open in the back.
Yeah. Who is the manufacturing company of Febreze?
Johnson & Johnson?
It's not Johnson & Johnson. Great guess. Not Palmolive. I think Palmolive might be made by this company, actually.
Oh, Colgate and Palmolive are the same.
Oh, did you say Johnson & Johnson?
It's not Johnson.
Procter & Gamble?
It's Procter & Gamble, yes.
P&G.
Whatever you said, I was going to say the other one.
Let's play a little game here on a short list. What are the top five fast food brands in the United States, but could you list them for me in order of number of franchises?
McDonald's.
Number one is Subway.
Really? Well, that's good.
McDonald's is number two.
Wendy's is number four.
Burger King is number three.
And last but most certainly not least, a combo brand. It's known out east as one thing and west as something else.
Hardee's.
Hardee's and Carl's Jr., yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I was going to say McDonald's is number two also, but...
Nice. What is the longest word in the English language that you can write without repeating a letter? I've heard of this one before.
Yeah, it's rough.
This is rough. It starts with the letter U. That's basically all I can give you. It would be if you applied to get a certain protection under the U.S. government for an original work, and they said no.
Unpatented. Uncopyrighted?
Uncopyrightable.
Okay.
Uncopyrightable. Very, very good question. Great question, profs.
That is a very interesting question.
Absolutely crazy.
The longest word you can say, you can write without repeating a letter.
Yes, absolutely insane. Let's take a look at some wonderful questions. Our good friend Lara Benson of Missoula, Montana. Dear Professor Mayo, after hearing my Thanksgiving questions read, I rushed off and baked a batch of Christmas questions.
Oh, I hope
these questions will serve your Christmas show well and wish the panel the very best in holiday cheer. We've already talked about holiday cheer, bad wine, and all sorts of stuff. Let's see what happens. Who brings Christmas presents to the children of Brazil and Peru? What's his name?
Santa Claus.
I'm guessing it's a Santa Claus derivative, but he is not known as Santa Claus down there.
Padre, San Nicola.
How about sort of a universal word for father? Does that help?
Here.
Padre.
Papa is what we've got. And then
Papa Natividad? Or?
We're thinking along the right lines. We're talking, what am I thinking here? They don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese. So what do you think the word for Christmas is?
Oh.
It's not Navidad. It's something a little more French sounding.
Noel.
Papa Noel goes to Brazil and Peru. Absolutely.
And Belsnickel lives at the South Pole. Who comes and takes away the presents? Belsnickel.
Takes away the presents?
Yes,
I don't
and leaves coals behind.
Is that the evil
devil? That's
the
evil.
Some kid's story that we had. We were always threatened that Belsnickel would come and get our gifts.
Oh, my gosh.
So we started putting that name as the from tag, you know, on people's gifts at Christmas from Belsnickel.
I love it.
Plausible deniability, right, Jim?
Yes.
What nonprofit puts out Christmas seals?
Christmas Lung Association?
It's the American Lung Association.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Good call.
Very good.
Wait. Very good with his philately.
Ooh. Is Easter seals... Never mind.
What is Easter seals? That's a good question.
That was my question. It's an organization.
Easter seals is involved in lung issues.
What country's children believe Santa Claus's workshop is located at Corvatunturi Mountain?
Italy?
It's not Italy.
Corvatunturi
Mountain. Nope.
Not Iceland.
No, you need to go a little further east.
Corva.
Ireland?
Not Ireland. Keep going east.
How do you spell Corvatunturi?
With a K.
Santeria.
Sweden is in the neighborhood, but it's not Sweden.
Finland.
Finland is what it says, starting with a K. What Christmas song contains the lyric, "Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me"?
Burl Ives.
Have
a holly jolly Christmas.
Holly jolly Christmas.
Holly jolly Christmas.
Burl Ives is best known for singing it. That is true.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
A fine graduate of Eastern Illinois University. What famous television father actor became a Christmas tree farmer in Grand Rapids, Minnesota after his acting days? Wow, I'm going to learn something today.
Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
I didn't either.
What famous television father actor became a Christmas tree?
Robert Young?
No.
Robert Downey Sr.?
Ozzie Nelson?
To a lot of people, this is the epitome of 50s fatherhood right here.
The guy from Father Knows Best?
No, that was Robert Young. Young.
The guy from Leave It to Beaver?
Hugh Beaumont?
Hugh Beaumont.
Hugh Beaumont. He became a Christmas tree farmer?
Christmas tree farmer. Pretty interesting.
Well, the residuals were a little rough on him. That's all.
Who wrote the book in 1998 titled Shakespeare's Christmas? I know I recognize the name. I'm afraid I can't. The initials are C.H., cannot give much more than that.
Chuck Hogan? Oh.
No.
Darn.
He's not here to defend himself either.
Darn right. Yeah. It's easier that way.
I'm not good with literary questions.
Yeah, it says Charlene Harris. What has she written? I know I recognize the name.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Did she write Charlotte's Web?
No, the E.B.
White. No, Adam's saying no.
Who was it?
Yeah, I think it was White who wrote Charlotte's Web, The name is very familiar. Who wrote this Christmas mystery book, The Bishop and the Three Kings?
Ooh. Never heard of it.
It's a mystery book?
A chemistry mystery, yeah. I saw the ch and my mind just took over.
Hello?
Christmas mystery book, Bishop and the Three Kings. I think this is one that folks would know. Initials A.G. is a male.
A.G.?
Mm-hmm.
Arthur
Godfrey.
No. Thank you, Lord. It's Andrew Greeley.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah,
we would know that.
Sounds
if
like
we'd
a Greeley-esque title.
Here's an interesting piece of trivia for the Christmas dining table. What contribution to American Christmas is John Calcott Horsley credited with? John Calcott Horsley. Spelled exactly the way it sounds.
Christmas lights?
Not lights.
Ornaments?
Not ornaments.
Horseradish sauce.
Not horseradish.
No.
Bound to go there. Not reindeer. No.
Garland?
Definitely a
decorative
thing? I think few would disagree this is an American contribution to Western Christmas. I don't think anybody else was doing
Chinese
this before
restaurants.
We did. No.
Mistletoe.
No. We were sending something.
Oh, Christmas cards.
Cards, yes. Christmas cards. Huh. Absolutely. Just saw my mom with her little fold-out table last night.
And they were originally one-sided, like a postal card.
That's right. They were like a postcard. Yeah. Let's see. So this is a classic piece of Christmas trivia. In 1844, somebody wrote A Visit from St. Nicholas. It's often attributed to Clement C. Moore. Two of the reindeer's names were changed over time from the original manuscript. What two were they?
Oh, boy.
Blitzen was...
To start with, what? Blitzen is the modern.
Lightning?
It's definitely what it means, but in the strict translation, it's Blixem would have been his name. B-L-I-X-E-M. The other one would have been Thunder, which we call Donner right now, but it was Dunder, which is Thunder in the original translation.
Okay, so, if you say so.
And while we think about Thunder and Lightning, let's take a break.
And of course, Rudolph wasn't there at all.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. It's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. All right. On his
George
right.
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day.
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well.
I can't do that.
Visions of Sugar Plums. Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear on this program are asked by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, clever. Our first set of questions are sent in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay.
Sweden.
Noel.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Yule? Mm-hmm. Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland.
Yes, Scotland. Yes. Weihnachten.
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad.
Sounds German.
Spain.
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Let's ask it again.
I mean,
I got all
that.
That was really
great. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Da 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 da.
George.
Just a little musical interlude here.
And we are back with some fantastic Christmas questions written by Laura Benson of Missoula, Montana. We will continue now after that historic interlude, 1984. So that is, wow, that's just a very long time ago. Okay. Which New York newspaper wrote, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus?
New York Times.
No, it was the Herald.
Post.
Wasn't the Herald?
Post.
Oh. Post, okay.
I'm sort of surprised you guys knocked off all the major...
Daily News?
No,
it wasn't
not the
Wall
Daily
Street
News.
Journal, so...
No, it's a no longer
Tribune?
Existing oh. paper. That is true. But the highlight of the Yes, Virginia story is that the girl wrote to the newspaper because her dad told her, if you see it in the blank, then it must be so.
The Globe?
The Sun was the name of the newspaper. The New York Sun, yes. If you see it in the sun, it's so.
Wow.
In the song Frosty the Snowman... Well, in the cartoon, pardon me, Frosty the Snowman, who brought Frosty back to life?
EMTs?
True that. True
it was
the kids.
It was kids' belief.
The kids' belief, right.
The kids believed, but then...
Magic.
Let me try to...
Magic sprinkle.
Yeah, how did the magic get into the hat?
From
Let's put
Jack
it
Frost?
Not the breath from Jack
winter.
Frost.
I mean, did winter bring him back?
No.
Winter Warlock?
Everything's got to come back to somebody, you know what I mean?
Santa.
Yeah, it was Santa actually enchanted the hat, and then the hat was put on the snowman, and, you know.
I didn't know that everything. Santa was an enchanter.
He is a warlock.
He was a
That's
level
a great
34
story.
Enchanter.
Level 34.
There are some people out there who will laugh at that. Many people.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Rolling 20-sided die.
With
right
high now. Charisma.
According to Irish superstition... Something stands open during the 12 days of Christmas.
The
what
door
is
to
it?
Your house.
No.
Your heart.
Nope.
Grandpa's fly.
No.
the toilet lid.
No.
Oh, this is going downhill quickly.
Oh, yeah. Momentum.
Something stands open. The door of the church.
Your front door?
You guys are in the realm with regard to the door, but it's not a church. It's not a house.
I just know this song by Bing Crosby. The door is always open.
Yeah.
Front gate?
I figured it was a house.
A gate, a pretty important gate. A pearly gate?
Oh, the gates of heaven?
The gates of heaven are open for those 12 days.
Oh.
Pretty interesting.
We die then, we're
so, yeah, see...
Everybody
arrange
gets
it.
In.
Arrange it.
Everybody gets in.
And arrange death. Is that what you're saying? I love it.
During that time period...
What Christmas treat does Pip give to the hungry convict in Great Expectations?
What's the plum pudding.
Not a
oatmeal
plum pudding.
Cake. Oatmeal pie.
No oatmeal pie. It is a pie, though.
Oh.
It's a savory pie.
Was it meat? It's not a meat pie, is it?
Yeah, it's a meat pie. It's a pork pie. Yep, absolutely.
Pork pie.
I for a second there, I thought you were going to say one of Barb's pasties, you know, from Clausen or whatever. I saw an ad the other day. I was like, ooh, pasties in the winter. Good
stuff.
Oh,
man, there's a new place downtown for pies.
For pasties, like pies?
Big ones. I bought one right before Halloween. $30 ratatouille pie.
Ratatouille?
Ratatouille.
That doesn't sound good. That's not a good name for a pie,
It was
by the way.
Huge. It took
you could just call it rat pie, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it just makes you think that there's rats in the pie.
It was wonderful.
In the Charlie Brown Christmas special, what does Lucy say she wants for Christmas?
Oh, my God.
I just saw that.
Great piece of trivia, by the way. Great piece of trivia.
What did she like last week?
What does she want?
Yeah, Charlie Brown is trying to orient himself when he's speaking to, you remember, the doctor is in, and speaking to Lucy, and said, well, what do you want for Christmas?
It's she not responds world peace. It can't be
with
that.
Two words. What do you want?
Front teeth?
Oh, nope.
The whole world?
Nope.
That would be three words.
She wants real estate. That's what she wants.
Real estate.
Oh, real estate.
Entrepreneurial. Oh. I'll give her that.
I was thinking
a new psychiatric consultation booth. Yeah,
yeah. I have to say, rewatching that and realizing its 60th anniversary is just a few years away of that classic cartoon, it hits the nail on the head with regard to commercialism so squarely.
Yes,
I think it's never going to go away. Okay. That is a beautiful cartoon.
And imagine how much that real estate would be worth today.
You know what I mean? Ooh. Seriously. Even though the joke about Charlie Brown's sister is that she has him write her letter to Santa because she can't spell. He's like, just throw it all in for cash, 10s and 20s. That's what she asked for. You know what? I'm like, that's 1950-something. I can't believe it.
In this day and age, they'd be asking for like Bitcoin or something.
Yeah, Bitcoin. Please make it hundreds and thousands. Who said, quote, Santa's got the right idea. Visit people once a year, unquote. Kind of hardcore.
However,
I believe this was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh.
Sounds like Jackie Gleason.
It's sort of up that, in that...
Rodney Dangerfield?
In that alley. The initials are VB.
Victor Borga?
Victor Borga said that, yes.
Great Dane.
Nice little...
A Great Dane.
A Great Dane. Nice tongue-in-cheek joke there. I knew that was coming.
A musical Great Dane.
In recent history, but not so very, very recent history, there was a female that delivered presents called Lebafana. And what country did she deliver presents to at Christmas time?
Lebafana?
It's, for the record, it's sort of like a grandmotherly witch character.
Romania?
No.
Eastern European?
Iceland?
No.
Romania?
Nope.
What?
This is... Russia. Professor Manica and mine country of origin? Is that how?
Yeah.
No. Italia.
Italy. Yes, it's Italy is what it says.
My country of origin is Romania.
I know. I was just seeing the vowel at the end and I got really confused.
That's okay. We all do that.
In the book Little Women, what does each girl get as a Christmas present at the beginning of the book?
An orange.
Not an orange.
I don't know, Little Women. I don't know. I can't remember that book. That's been so long.
I will actually give it away by saying, in the book Little Women, what does each girl get as a Christmas present at the beginning of the book? They get a book. But what book?
Little Women?
Great Expectations?
That would be very meta. They do not get a copy of their own, and they don't get Great Expectations. 45 chapters later, they finished.
The Catcher in the Rye or something like that?
They're kind of missing an obvious book here.
The Bible.
The Bible, yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Lara, for some wonderful questions.
Those are great.
We do have some questions from Holly Berry this year. Holly Berry has been doing some research on the Urban Legends reference page, Snopes.com. Your job is to verify or de-verify any of these famous Christmas legends, some of which are pretty old, some of which are not so old. We'll see exactly what you guys can do with this. True or false? The character Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was created by a father to bring comfort to his daughter.
False.
Ooh.
That is false because
Montgomery Ward's, wasn't it?
It was invented by Montgomery Ward's to sell things. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. True or false? The suicide rate increases significantly during the winter holiday season.
True.
I think
true.
So.
I say so. Yeah.
It's actually false.
Wow. Yep. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad to hear that too.
Suicide rate is pretty much the same year round, and everybody can do with that what they will.
Ooh.
Poinsettia plants.
The gates are open.
I know.
It depends on where you are.
Days.
In Anchorage, it might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Poinsettia plants are poisonous to humans.
False.
That's true.
It is true that it is false.
They are not that poisonous to human beings.
No.
Last I heard, you'd need to consume 3 or 4 pounds of what, for the record, they're not even flowers. They're actually
red leaves
of the plant to poison yourself. So
that'd
it's not
quite
really.
A bit. I don't think we have to worry.
Yeah,
about
that salad is going to be a little rough.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I think this will go over pretty well with the Roman Catholics in the room, but I think they know whether this is true or false. Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Jesus by the Virgin Mary.
False.
That is false.
It's Mary.
Mary, yes. Mm-hmm. And for the record, because I only learned this over the last few years, in the bounce back of culture from Europe settling North America and then us coming up with our own stuff and sending it back, which I read a blog post of this British person lamenting the loss of Father Christmas because Santa Claus has completely taken over Britain at this point in the modern era. The fact that the Immaculate Conception is the unofficial beginning of European Christmas season versus Black Friday. I can't even say it with a straight face over here. So,
well, it's interesting. It's also the first doctrine of the Catholic Church to be considered to fall under papal infallibility.
Right. She could not have carried that without sin, without being without
Although
sin
papal
herself.
Infallibility didn't come around until 1870. It was 1854 that Pius IX decreed the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of Mary.
Well, the obvious problem
that was to solve was how could Jesus have been sinless if he had a human mother who sort of genetically passed it along in the Augustinian tradition.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
That solved the problem.
The name Boxing Day comes from the need to rid the house of empty boxes on December 26th.
False.
It is definitely false. And can you tell us why, Jim?
You would box up things and take them to the servants on the day after.
Exactly.
Christmas.
Absolutely.
Great shopping day in Canada, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Candy canes were created to symbolize the J in the word Jesus.
That's false.
No.
That is definitely false. Yeah. Do you know what the going scholarship on this says? Because this makes me laugh every time.
I believe the blood, the red is for the blood of Christ and the white is for purity.
Right. Well, that is the incorrect attribution. So what it actually is.
It's a barbershop thing, isn't it?
Barber pole.
Well, the rumor is, as far back as is real, I mean, there are people like Alton Brown, you know, who actually do scholarship in the area of anthropology and food, that it was a larger piece of candy that had been used to being made up to that point, and they needed a way that they could hang them to dry more easily. So they just bent them, and that was it. There is no other reason.
That's why they made them a crook.
Yep. Now, why it's colored that way, I have no idea. Peppermint is actually a green plant. Why is it red and white? You know, who knows? Absolutely. What is it said? Turn this into a little bit of trivia. What is it said that can happen for all the strikes of a clock at midnight on Christmas Day? Something can happen that can't happen at any other time of the year.
What?
You guys have never heard this before, huh?
No.
This is classic Catholic Christmas superstition.
So there's 12 rings of the clock.
Right, so it's just a few seconds, and during that time, something can happen.
12 lords a-leaping.
No. It's that animals can talk.
Oh, cool.
I never heard that.
Cool. I gotta try that.
Let's hang around and watch.
I think these animals are going to have to stop talking this point. Professor Manica.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Adios.
Professor Maggio.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Roach.
Noel.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's Manickles campus. We have a really good time making it. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Merry Christmas.